Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener is followed by the dead their entire life. What do the deceased want? And will they ever go away?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, get access to our audio archive. It is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and it's added to all the time with exclusive episodes for our supporters. They're called EPP bonus episodes. New ones every single week, advanced episodes of the show, our ebook, our audiobook. It's all there. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up, or patreon.com/realghoststories. And there you go. You $5 a month, gets you access to all of that, and your support helps keep us on the air. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I follow you on Instagram, and I have to ask, what the flying, you know what, is up with the alien chickens that you apparently have on the farm and their wacky eggs? What's up with that?
Oh my God. I know. And apparently this is a common thing. So if you haven't seen this, the other day I went out to the chicken coop and I was getting the eggs, and there was one egg that was like almost like a stress ball. It was the shell was not there. It looked like an egg, but it was like squishy. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I posted it out there, and people were like, oh, they need more calcium. Or like, okay. So you can actually feed your chickens their own eggs. And it's kind of creepy because, you know, it's their own eggs, but they love it. They're like crazy serial killers, you know, just gorging on body parts when you toss them into there, because they're like, rah! And they all just flock to it and they start eating the eggs. And I guess them eating more of the shells actually helps them produce the shell. If they're low on calcium, that's where you get the alien egg.
But, so do you typically like take the eggs and eat them from your chickens? Okay.
So you
can keep your shells then after you bust them open and make your scrambled eggs and give them the shells, right?
Yeah, certainly. The thing is, though, I have so many damn eggs, I can't keep up with it. So I end up having, there's literally about 60 eggs on my counter right now. I have like two like egg holders, and it's just filled with eggs. And eventually, you know, they go bad. So right. I have to like go like, let's empty out 30 of them, and then I either just give them back to the chickens, or I'll fry them up and then give them to my dogs or something like that.
But there are so many emotions that I feel in this conversation, because to even imagine you as Mr. Green Jeans out on a farm is really difficult.
I know.
But to see you touching that egg, it was really creepy and gross. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'll ever eat another egg again. So,
yeah, my daughter Harper was like, I don't want to touch it, Dad. And I'm like, no, just like, this is so unique. Like, get it away from me. And it wasn't slimy or anything. It was just weird. But I guess it's a thing.
I hope you branch out and do a podcast of life on the farm. I think that would be great.
It's run through my mind, but I don't think I have enough content for it.
I bet there is. I bet there is.
I probably could figure something out if I can ever get another more time for a podcast. We'll add an extra day to the week, but yeah, it's good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our first letter. It says, I've experienced the paranormal in my life, or all my life. It's a gift handed down from my great-grandfather to my grandmother, to my mother, and then to me. It's as natural to us as any other part of our lives. It's just a part of who I am and who they are. I remember growing up with the knowledge that spirits are with us both, because my family was so open about it, and because I've experienced it firsthand since I can remember. My first experience was with an old man who watched me as a child. I cannot tell you when I first knew he was there, but I knew I was aware of him as early as age 4 or 5. I could feel him watching me anytime I was alone. In my room, in our play area, in the basement, outside, literally anywhere on our property. He was just there. I could feel his eyes on my back. He always felt angry, but not in a way that made me feel he would hurt me. More like he was angry we lived on his land. Our home always felt lonely, too. My mother experienced intense depression throughout the years she lived there. I never saw him, but I could describe what he looked like just by the energy I felt from him. He was an older man, and I knew he had not been a nice person in life. There were so many times in my childhood where this negative energy watching me was so intense that I was forced to leave the room. There was areas in our home that were safe and others where he controlled. I knew where I could go and where I could not. The front part of our home, the shared living areas, was safe. My bedroom and the basement were his. The back part of our basement was a no-go zone to all of us, even my parents and older siblings, who never felt him as I did not go back there. We all just avoided the area. His energy was so intense, it was debilitating. Just anger and fear and loneliness, so negative. As I grew up, I got used to him. I could ignore him and go about my life. Then my parents divorced. The negative feelings surrounding us at the time seemed to change him. He grew stronger, and the areas I could stay in comfort dwindled to one room, the living room. My father, the staunchest non-believer among us, moved out into his soon-to-be wife's home because he could not stand to be there alone. The house itself was not old. In fact, my parents built the year before I was born. The decade-old home began to deteriorate soon after my father quit staying there quickly. Holes appeared in the wood around windows, pests moved in, and items left there just quit working or broke. It rotted from the inside out. Could this, have been because it was largely uninhabited? Sure, but it happened so quickly, in less than 2 years. By this time, I was living with my mother and sharing custody with my dad. We, myself, and my older brother often would go back to the house to get things or check on the property. I'd never seen this man physically, but when we'd go back to the home, we started seeing him standing at the big picture window. This house was in a very rural area, so we knew it was not anyone living there while we were away. In any case, when we searched the house, no one was there. My brother, myself, his girlfriend, and my best friend all saw him in the windows numerous times. Once my friend and I were in my bedroom, a large orb flew past us across the room. We left quickly. The whole house felt so dark and oppressive in a way I had not ever experienced. It was almost like, in our absence, this man took control of the home. When my father finally sold the land, I was incredibly happy to know I would never have to go back there. I miss my childhood home, but I always was happy to escape the presence which haunted my whole life there. In the years since, I've been told I must have imagined it, or it was my overactive child imagination. I can tell you, I never felt watched away from home, nor have I felt that way since my dad sold the property. He was there. For whatever reason, he was attracted to my energy, maybe because I felt him more than anyone else. As an adult, I told my dad about what I experienced in the house as a child, and he admitted that they had purchased the land from an estate sale. The estate was of a man known to neighbors as a very mean-spirited, unhappy person. I honestly think he lingered on the land after death. I'll mention that we lived less than a mile from what is known as the most haunted location in central Illinois, Williamsburg Hill. It's a fascinating place, but the entirety of what I experienced in the area is a story for another time. Anyway, that's the first paranormal experience I remember out of 30 years with this gift. I love listening to your podcast while working from home. Thank you for giving us an outlet to share our experiences. Thoughts on that?
I'm first of all to say 30 years of experiencing this gift. I mean, for some people, what this this person experienced in their life is not a gift. It's more of a curse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because you hear these stories a lot where somebody purchases a new house or a relatively new house and they have all this activity and all this negative energy. And it just kind of lends itself to that energy being part of the land. If that particular person did exist, that older man who was not a very happy individual, and this family comes along, buys the land, builds a house, it would make some sense that this entity, this energy would come back and not be very happy about it.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where it doesn't even matter if the house is new or anything like that. If it's there and it's part of the land, it's still going to be there. What is interesting to know, because they were talking about the property and how it was a fairly new house, but how quickly it deteriorated, It is amazing how quickly a property can deteriorate the second you turn off, you know, heat and air and electricity and nobody's taking care of anything. It's just shocking sometimes when you look into a older building or what I tend to think of are like hospitals and such, because those are like the abandoned places people explore. And I'll see pictures of some of them sometimes where it's like, oh, the place shut down 2 years ago. And you look at the pictures and the paint's peeling and everything's in disarray. And it's only been a short period of time. Nature, right. You know, the elements, they will take over a place very quickly the second humans stop taking care of it.
Well, I even noticed with my father, as he got older and my mother had passed away, they kept their home immaculate. Everything was always immaculate. And in his final days at the house, because he was older and not able to keep up so quickly, it does deteriorate really quickly. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an old hospital or anything. It can just be an old homestead where things kind of slowed down and maybe repairs aren't made as quickly as they once were. You're right. It can really happen fast.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be something paranormal for that. That's just the elements doing their thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to this audio file that was sent into us. Hi.
Hey, Tony. It's Benji. I got a quick story for you. This was dating back to when I was in the military. So I'll just hop right into it. When I first got into the military, you know, I had all these high expectations that, like, everything was, like, clear-cut, straightforward. You know, there's a lot of weird things that happen in the military that, you know, you can't explain everything. And, you know, I got a good ghost story out of mine. So I checked in the fleet maybe about November time frame, and in the schoolhouse when they're teaching us how to be the mechanics that we were, they would tell us they were telling us this one story about this unit, and it just happened to be the unit I was checking in. Apparently, what had happened was a kid went crazy in his room, and he would self-harm himself and smear his blood on the wall, speak in tongues, like all this crazy, crazy out of this world thing. So everyone just kind of thought it was like one of those like little rumors or whatever, like didn't think anything of it. And so I check into this unit, and one of the kids that was there for a minute, I'm going to keep names and everything out of this, just to spare details of the people. But one of the kids there, he lived in that same room. Now, he was a pretty normal guy, like, didn't really expect anything out of him. He used to ride his skateboard to work every day. And him riding his skateboard, he painted on the bottom of it, like, where all the graphics go. He paints Hang 9. Now, nobody really thought anything of it, or, like, asked him about it, and he just kind of goes, yeah, that's my thing, Hang 9. And he was missing the ring finger, and it was, like, two hands coming up without the ring finger. And there was, like, the nine fingers. That following weekend, the kid in his room ends up cutting his finger off, putting it in the microwave, cooking it, and eating it. And it was that same ring finger that he painted on his skateboard. They sent him to mental health. He got evaluated. They pretty much deemed him unfit for being in the military anymore. I mean, that's rightfully so. But so, because of all this, you know, people are going to ask questions. And I asked him because I was friends with him. I said, hey, what made you want to do that? And his only response to me was, the demons told me to. I do like to believe that he was connected to that room, that something maybe paranormal might have happened. He might have been possessed, possibly. There could have been a number of things that it could have been. Now, I believe in ghosts, and I believe in, you know, the life after, how they walk our planes. Like, I believe in all that. But I haven't really had a lot happen to me, so I can't really kind of prove that that fact. Flash forward a couple months, my buddy and I, we get told we have to move rooms. We get moved to the room next to where all of this is happening at. Let me kind of paint a little picture of what the rooms look like. So one room is kind of like a one-room studio apartment or like a hotel room in a way. And then you walk straight through, and in the back, there's a door to the bathroom. you turn left to get into the bathroom. And this bathroom happened to be connected to the room where all the crazy things were happening. But to get into it, it was locked from the bathroom side, so you couldn't get into someone else's room. But you still shared that bathroom in between your two rooms. So because of all that, you know, we're a little superstitious, a little cautious in a way. I would check on the door and make sure it was still locked and everything. We were having a little party in our room one time, and I remember hearing something from the other room, kind of curious about it. So we go through the bathroom, trying to open the door, it's locked. So I ended up picking the lock, going in there, seeing nothing. It was just an empty room. There's furniture everywhere, neatly organized, and it was just a room. So we go back. That night, I'm dead asleep. I wake up at probably about 2:30, quarter to 3, and I just remember hearing a loud crash, like everything would just fall from the room over. I was freaked out, so I woke my buddy up, hey, come check this out with me. We go in there, and all that furniture that was neatly placed before is thrown up against one side of the wall, stacked on top of each other. Like, it is thrown up. There's no way it could have just kind of fallen over, like a bed could have fallen apart. No, like everything in that room was pushed into a corner on top of each other. It was the most obscene looking thing. I wish I had a picture of it, but that was on my old phone and it got stolen. But yeah, it was just all over the place. And from that day after, you know, small little things would happen. I never actually saw a physical being or like a spirit or anything. I just hear a lot of noises from that room. One time I came home from work at like 1 o'clock in the morning, laid down to go to sleep, and I remember my calendar falling off my wall, not thinking much of it, thinking like the tape let go or something, put it back up. No sooner after I put it back up, I hop back in bed, and as soon as I'm in bed, it falls again. I'm like, okay, something's crazy here. And then I hear the door open from the other room into the bathroom. So I bolt over to our bathroom and I lock that door so they can't get in, whoever it is or whatever it is. And I go back into my bed and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. My roommate's still asleep. And I just hear footsteps pacing back and forth in the bathroom. So I wake up my roommate. I was freaked out. Like, hey, you got to get up. You got to get up. Like, listen to this. And he starts hearing it too. So I know I'm not crazy. I have that like confirmation that, you know, somebody else heard what I heard. And he's like, just ignore it, dude. Just go to bed. Don't worry about it. Because he didn't believe in ghosts or anything. He doesn't believe in that stuff. Even after seeing all that, he still didn't believe in it. And I remember just laying there, hearing the pacing back and forth of footsteps. And at one point, I'm pretty sure, like, I heard the door jiggle. Like, he was trying to open up the doorknob to try and get in. And just like a bunch of, like, loud banging and everything against our door. And I was just freaked out. And luckily enough, after that, you know, we talked to the right people and got ourselves out of that situation. We moved rooms, and soon after, they condemned both of those rooms, and nobody could ever live in those rooms after. So, I mean, I don't know if that was a first-hand experience or a second-hand. Either way, it's something you just can't explain. Like, you can't explain these things, and if you try and explain them to anybody, you just sound crazy. You don't sound sane, and people are going to start thinking that you're the crazy one. I mean, that's about all I have. Love the work that you guys do. Hope you guys keep going with it. All right. Take care.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us. Thoughts?
I think that we don't hear enough about some of the activity at military bases and things like that. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on almost as much as like religious places.
Sure.
And I think that, like religion, Catholic Church, the military is very secretive about things that go on and what they're willing to tell us about, whether you're talking about aliens or about hauntings and stuff like that. And I think here's a prime example of a location that obviously has something going on. How it started, where it started, we don't know. But I doubt that anybody anywhere up on the rank really wants to talk about what goes on at that location.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you never really hear anybody who's actually there at the time sharing the stories. It's always years later, like this happened, that happened. And sometimes I've heard it where someone will share their experience and then suddenly all these other people start piling on going, yeah, I was there too. And this happened from that year to this year. Those places, I think, are probably very active. And you think of it, you know, there's a lot of emotions going through one's mind when you're serving and when you're in those situations, especially if it's in a time of war or something and you're sitting there wondering and waiting, am I going to go here? Am I going to go there? It just, you know, and just that life change as well, if you're just getting into it, of how dramatically different life is now, all of those emotions all put together.
Yep, absolutely. Basic training, what that's like, all that. I mean, it's got to be crazy. And then you take into account maybe lives that were lost in war and stuff like that. And if any of those energies come back as well. So there's a lot of layers there. It would be interesting to find someone in the military, maybe they've retired or whatever, that would be willing to talk about some of that stuff. I think it'd be very interesting.
It would be. Thanks for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your story.
I have called before on the, I aired on the Please Believe episode, May 2020. I called in about, a haunted Ben and Jerry's shop in, Yorktown, Virginia. I'm calling back because I was, inspired by, a recent re-airing of one of Carol's stories. So this one, is kind of a little bit of a story for Carol in a couple of ways. One, it's one of those maybe heartwarming stories that she tends to. And secondly, you know, I always hear everybody say they heard a similar story, so they were inspired to call, and that happened to me as well. Just because I guess the feeling that Carol described in this episode, it was the Halloween 2018 episode, just re-aired February 21st, 2021. And I'm listening to it, and the way that she described her experience of just knowing that someone is with you, even though you're not seeing them or you don't hear anything or have any sort of tangible, I guess, proof or evidence per se. So I had just gotten engaged, is the story from a few years ago. Very, very recently, a few days into my engagement to my now husband. And I'm walking through my apartment at the time, and inexplicably, I just had this sort of urge to stop walking wherever I was headed from one room in the apartment to another, which also kind of reminded me of Carol's story, to just she had this urge to paint. And again, can't really describe this urge to just stop and just sit down exactly where I was, which happened to be in my guest room at the time. I just sat down on the bed. I think I was off to go do some sort of chore, laundry, who knows what. But I just knew, for whatever reason, can't explain it, I knew I needed to stop and sit down exactly where I was. Can't explain that to you. And so I sit down, and what is also just kind of inexplicable is I immediately started almost sensing my past grandmother's presence. And she's been passed away now for half of my life. I was 13 when she passed. We were really close. She was actually my step-grandmother, but that didn't make a difference. We were two peas in a pod. And when she passed, it was difficult. But I digress. So I'm sitting on the bed in the guest room of my apartment, newly engaged, and it was as if I could hear her townhouse again from half my life ago. I could hear the sounds of the kitchen for no reason. I could almost smell the smells, the scents of her house. And, you know, without actually physically hearing them or physically smelling it, if that makes sense, it was almost internally, like these neurons were randomly firing that, my cat is saying hello, if you can hear her as well. That it just start going off in your brain. I don't know. And furthermore, the feeling that you get when someone is with you, you know, you kind of know, I guess, what that feels like, you know, when someone you're close with is next to you, accompanied these senses of feeling like I was back in her house, it felt as though she was sitting on the bed next to me. And it felt as though, and I sound really crazy when I say this, but it felt as though she was looking at my new engagement ring. And I just don't know how else to describe that, except if she had actually been there and I'd actually been in her house, and she was looking at my new ring and just happy for me. That was the exact feeling that I was having. I wish I didn't sound so crazy, but that's the story. And maybe that was an actual presence that occurred. So just a nice story that I thought that I would share. Love the show. Love all of the hosts that you guys have on. I am an EPP now as of Valentine's Day, a gift from my husband, actually, and really enjoying all of the archived content. I can't wait to dive into the videos that are available with being an EPP, so really excited for all of that in my annual membership. So thanks a lot, guys. Have a great spring and summer, and hope. I'll call back with future stories. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Now, he gave the gift that keeps on giving.
I was just going to say, she picked the right guy, apparently.
Exactly. You don't need to go to K Jewelers. All you need to do is give the gift of ghosts this holiday season. It'll make her feel so special and warm. And I'm trying to think of the jewelry spots where they always talk like this.
What you need to do now, here's your idea. Now you got to put together a campaign for Christmas and for Valentine's Day and Sweetheart Day.
Yeah.
And actually run ads for that. I think it'd be great.
In the style of a jewelry store. That'd be great.
Do you really love her? Do you?
If you don't give this to her, she's going to leave you for a ghost.
Yeah,
something like that.
What a great story. And it does sound like she probably had a nice little visit there with a loved one, her grandmother, to kind of celebrate the engagement. You know, the thing that I find so sad is that, and you hear it time and time again, people say, I know I sound crazy. Mm-hmm. I wish we could get past the fact that we still sometimes feel crazy because we're experiencing these things. And I know it's just a saying, but you're not crazy. This probably really did happen to you in one way, shape, or form. And you probably did smell the smells, and you probably did hear the sounds, and you did feel her presence. And that in itself is a gift. You are not crazy.
No, exactly. I think it's really interesting that she felt the presence all the way down to what she was looking at, what her grandmother was looking at. It wasn't just she's in the room. It's like, and you can tell, you know, you just kind of get that feeling somebody's looking at you, and it's you know the feeling. And especially if there's no one physically there, that can be a little weird. But the thing is, those things happen. And I fully believe she had that experience. The smells and all that are really interesting. I have this jar. It's an old blue ball jar, and it used to be, when I was a kid, it was on the counter at my grandparents' house in their kitchen. It was always filled with lemon drops, and I was always like, oh, can I, you know, have a lemon drop? And, you know, you'd think this thing being packed with lemon drops for how many years on that counter, it would smell like lemon drops. It doesn't. It smells like their house, the inside of the jar. It is like my grandparents' house in a jar. I can open it up anytime And immediately I get the whiff of what their house smelled like. And it wasn't anything bad. It wasn't like smoky or anything like that. It's just, you know, every house has a scent. Yep. And I can, it's the weirdest thing in the world, but it is, it's like their house in a jar, and it's sitting up here on my shelf. And if I ever like want to get that whiff, it's like, yep, that's childhood. That's going to grandma and grandpa's house. And why on earth the inside of this jar smells like that, I don't know, but it does.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, too. And I hate to say it, but I almost start bust out crying with your little story there, because I'm a huge sap for that kind of stuff. But here again, it's wonderful, even if that's not a paranormal thing, mm-hmm. it's wonderful that you can have that experience just because you remember a smell, or you remember a sound, or you remember, you know, a sunset or whatever it is. We're very unique beings. There's a lot of things that can conjure that stuff up, but it, you know, we got to stop saying we think we're crazy when we experience things like this caller did. So
I completely agree. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your story, go ahead and do it. 855-853-4802 or at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.